Well, this fall and winter, we have sure seen a lot of rain. And I'm glad it didn't rain as much this weekend, as I said, and I can see a little bit of sun out there through the window, so maybe it's not going to pour today. But all over this country in the past several months, we have seen disaster after disaster caused by too much water. On this baptism of the Lord Sunday, we remember the power of water. But more importantly, remember that it is the Lord God who gives power to the water, who has powers over the waters. Our psalm this morning exhorts us to give God the glory. Give glory to the God who is over the waters. Ascribe to the Lord. Many scholars think that this psalm is a parody of a hymn written to the Canaanite god Baal-Hadad, who was the storm god or the god and the god of fertility. My professor of Christian education and seminary, Dr. Gary Parrott, said that in every culture there are things with which we can celebrate, that we can connect with, that we can challenge, and that we must condemn. So here they've connected and challenged this psalm to Baal and made it a psalm to Yahweh. The original hymn celebrated the defeat of Baal over the sea god, the god of chaos, at the time the earth was created. In both Canaanite and Jewish culture, the sea stands for chaos. The creation poem in Genesis 1 tells how the triune God created order out of watery chaos. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void and without form. It was a big mess. But God didn't have to defeat an evil God to create order out of chaos. As we see in this psalm, the Creator God is the God who has control over all that seems chaotic, both making it and calming it. Psalm 29 opens with an exhortation to the heavenly beings to give Yahweh glory and strength. In other words, to give God the credit that God is due. There is no other spiritual being or God who deserves honor and glory. Yahweh alone has power to create and power to destroy. Yahweh alone has power over the waters. Yahweh alone is self-sufficient. These spiritual beings may refer to the false Canaanite gods or to the angels and the principalities. These divine beings, angels and principalities, do Yahweh's bidding. They are not to be worshipped. All of creation must give praise and glory to God. We saw the angels doing exactly this at Christ's birth. The shepherds were in the field, and all of a sudden there was an angel, and then a whole bunch more angels came and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The angels shouted or sang the glory of God. All things were made by God, for God, in Christ Jesus. None of us, whether earthly or spiritual being, can do anything without the power and the permission of God. We must all submit to the authority of our Lord and give God credit for all of God's mighty works, whether small or great. No one and nothing can subvert God's rule. We worship God in the beauty of his holiness, or the splendor of his holiness, or in holy attire or holy array, because God is set apart above all creation, and God calls us to be set apart. Again, we're to worship God alone. Nothing and no one else deserves our full devotion, our attention, and our passion. The Westminster Catechism tells us that our highest aim is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. And God's glory is seen in God's acts. The word glory has its root in a word that means heaviness or weight. And God is glorious, and the weight of God's glory can be felt and seen in the things that God has made, in the way that God moves in our world. We ascribe glory to God by acknowledging God's presence and power in the world around us. After calling all to worship and glorify God, Psalm 29 describes God's power over the waters. And it sounds like a storm is forming over the sea like a hurricane. God's glory is seen in this storm. In Jewish thought, the abyss is located at the bottom of the sea. This is why, if you remember that story of Jesus encountering the demon-possessed man in Gadarene, and that man was possessed by a demon who was named Legion, or many. He says, "Weird, there's lots of us in here." And Jesus cast the demons out, and the demon said, "Send us anywhere, but don't send us into the abyss." And so Jesus sent them into the pigs, but then the pigs ran off the cliff, and they fell into the sea. So even though the demon asked not to go to the abyss, it's where they ended up, because they ended up in the sea. In the book of Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth is described as having no more sea, because in the new heavens and the new earth, there is no more death, there is no more chaos, there is no more destruction, there is no more evil. Everything is perfect, everything is purposeful, and evil and death are forever destroyed. Our God is a God of order. And sometimes God uses chaos to bring about order. As we remember our baptisms today, we remember that God creates order and newness of life out of the disorder and chaos of our lives. In his baptism, Jesus shows that he has power over the waters as well. He also brings order out of chaos, showing his divine power. In our baptisms, we die with Christ and we rise again with Christ, showing that we belong to Christ, that we do not belong to death and destruction. We are cleansed from our sin because Christ went through baptism through death for us. Psalm 29 describes God as sitting above the floodwaters. In our PW Bible study on Monday night, we studied the story of Jesus walking on the water. Again, in that action, Jesus' divinity is revealed. God is also frequently described as walking on water, so Jesus is identifying himself with God. The Lord forms with his voice, it says in Psalm 29, which is precisely what Genesis 1 tells us. God said, and it was. It is important that God's voice has power over the water. When Jesus calms the storm with his voice, he shows again his divinity. Jesus himself is called the Word of God. God's voice is described like thunder in Psalm 29. And when God spoke in the New Testament, his voice was often mistaken as thunder. Three times we hear God speak, and one time we know Jesus speaks from heaven at his baptism. Some people thought it was thunder. At the end of Christ's life, when the Gentiles were going to go see him and they couldn't get in, and then the voice comes from heaven saying to Jesus, "I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again." People think it was thunder. At the Transfiguration, I think the disciples knew that it was God's voice then. But then when the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, some of the soldiers thought that Jesus' voice was thunder. Though most translations say that God called out to Adam in the garden in the cool of the day or in the cool of the evening, it literally says in the Hebrew that God called to Adam from the wind of the storm. So again, something like thunder. We can see why Adam would hide from that. Truly, God's voice is powerful and full of majesty. The power of the storms reminds us that God is in control and that we are not. At the baptism, we also see that Jesus is divine through this genealogy that Luke chooses to use. It's different from Matthew's. Matthew starts at the beginning and goes forward, and Luke starts at the end and goes backwards all the way to Adam, the Son of God, because Adam was directly created by God. And Luke traces a priestly line, whereas Matthew traces a kingly line. So again, showing the divinity of Jesus. In Psalm 29, in verses 5 and 6, this mighty thunderstorm or hurricane or nor'easter or whatever type of storm it is moves from the sea onto the land. And it destroys the great forests of Lebanon, these strong, famous cedar trees with wind and lightning. I'm sure the folks in Missouri and Mississippi and Alabama who've experienced recent tornadoes and flooding know the power of the storm. But it is God that controls the storm. The storm then moves into the desert over the wilderness of Kadesh in verses 8 and 9. So the same storm that can destroy a forest can change the desert into fertile ground. Even the most desolate, driest places show that God is still there and that God's voice can still be heard. Again, the response to the power of God is to cry glory. See, God does whatever God can to get our attention, whether it to be create a storm in our life or to bless us. So whether you feel like you're drowning because there's too much water, too much is going on, because storms keep coming, or whether you feel dry like a desert that you haven't heard God's voice in a long time and there's no hope and there's nothing happening and God has abandoned you, God is still there and God is still speaking. God gives and God takes away. In whatever storms come our way, we can be assured that God is in control of the situation. No matter how severe the devastation, it is not outside of God's power to restore. And this is how Psalm 29 ends. In the conclusion, we see that Yahweh gives strength to his people and that Yahweh blesses his people with peace. God will always bring healing after disaster. Water brings forth life, and the God of abundant waters brings forth abundant life. There is always peace after a storm. Because God is over the storm, there is peace even in the midst of the storm. Some of the places where we have seen disasters take place will be better for the storms having been there. Farmlands will be fertile again. Trees and animals will return. New opportunities for people will arise. But it's hard right after the storm, and it's hard in the middle of the storm. We have opportunity to help through our prayers and our gifts and maybe even hands-on assistance. But remember that our turn to face the storm will come, both literally and figuratively. But God is with us. God is in control. Jesus has gone through it before us, and we are never alone. May you give God glory, and may you be attuned to hear God's voice, even in the midst of the storm. Not mistaking it as simply thunder, but as God speaking to you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you care about us so much to get our attention. And sometimes you use hard things to do it. We don't always know why, and we don't see how we're going to get through it, but you know, because you have prepared the way. Lord, thank you for calling us to yourself. And thank you for giving us peace even in the middle of storms. And thank you that when we feel like we're in the desert, the rain is coming and you have not stopped speaking. And Lord, thank you that you promise to bring strength and peace to your people. Help us to hear your voice. For you are still speaking every day. Help us to listen for you as we pray and as we go about our lives, to see where you are at work and to see what you're doing and to know your will for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.